The team of scientists from Harvard University recently announced that they've developed technology to remove carbon dioxide from the atmosphere and convert it into liquid fuel. They expect to be able to do this at industrial levels by the year 2021. The hope is that the technology could be used to cut CO2 levels in the atmosphere and limit the impact of climate change, but that could be a long way off. Robinson Meyer is a staff writer covering climate change and technology at The Atlantic. Robinson, welcome to Central Time.
Hey, absolutely. Thank you for having me, Rob.
Well, spell out the basic idea from this paper. What are we doing with air to turn it into fuel?
Well, it's a bit complicated, but it is fairly easy to explain because it takes three. What we're doing is we're taking three industrial processes which exist elsewhere in industry, elsewhere in factories across the world, and we're bringing them together. And so, if you think about it, so there's CO2 in air, and although CO2 is really powerful at a global level, there's just not much of it in any kind of one cubic foot of air, let's say. When we talk about CO2, we're talking about 400 parts per million. That means you have to get a million molecules of air, right, to start getting into the hundreds of CO2 molecules. And what you really care about is sieving out the hundreds of CO2 molecules. So we subject it to three processes. The first is that it kind of gets sucked into cooling towers. So if you can think of like a giant nuclear cooling tower in reverse, what a cooling tower does is it exposes as much liquid to air as possible in order to cool down the liquid. In this case, what we care about is exposing the air to the liquid, and there's a certain chemical in that exposure process that's really basic and bonds with the slightly acidic CO2 in the air. Then it's brought into the factory, and it undergoes a series of kind of chemical reactions that includes freezing it into pellets and heating it up to take the CO2 out of the carbonate solution that was formed in the cooling tower. That's something we already do all around the world in paper mills, like taking CO2 out of a carbonate solution. It's just a very kind of common industrial process. And then at that point, we have concentrated CO2 gas. So at this point, we've separated the CO2 out of the air. We have it in a concentrated form. And you can do two things with it then. You could bury it in the ground. And at that point, you know, we're literally taking CO2 out of the air. That's how you would start to reverse geoengineer global warming. And the other thing that this team is looking at doing right now is they'd subject it to what's called a Fischer-Tropsch process, which is where you convert a hydrocarbon gas like CO2 into gasoline or diesel or jet fuel. You basically convert. Normally, a Fischer-Tropsch process is used to convert natural gas into gasoline or diesel or some kind of liquid fuel that can be easily exported and burned.
Yeah, if I have this carbon I've captured out of the air and I want to sequester it, I want to bury it in the ground, great, but the downside is nobody's really going to pay me to do that. So this idea, the quest here is, can we get some use out of it again? Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. So I should probably back up and say there's two companies that are looking at doing this. One is called Carbon Engineering. It's based in the U.S. and Canada. And the other is called Climeworks, and it's based in Switzerland. And right now, they both are working on variations of this process. And exactly as you said, what we would kind of love to do as a species is eventually just put the CO2 back into the ground, you know, maybe in the same places where we drilled it out for oil reserves in the first place, and, you know, just keep it there forever, and that's how we'll solve global warming, and or that's one way to solve global warming, right? The problem is that there's no one to pay for that, exactly. You need a government to pay for it. It doesn't generate a profit. And so the idea right now is that as this process continues to get cheaper, and as we wait for governments to maybe be willing to subsidize a reverse geoengineering planet Earth, we could turn that CO2 back into gasoline or some kind of fossil fuel that then could be sold on the market. And though that gasoline would eventually emit all that CO2 back into the air, it would be a carbon neutral process, because we wouldn't be digging CO2 out of the ground and then adding it to the air. We'd be pulling it out of the air and making gas and then adding it back into the air. So it wouldn't increase global carbon levels.
And you mentioned the cost of actually doing this. It seems like if money were no object, we could do this. But one of the papers you wrote about, and that North American company, they did this and they said, hey, this is in a range of cost that this might be doable and expandable and scalable, right?
That's right. So it used to be that this kind of geoengineering was just considered way too costly to ever be plausible. There was a report in 2012 that said it was going to be at least $700, $800, $900 to pull out a ton of CO2, which is tends to be the units that we talk about. This team, the carbon engineering team, which is based in U.S. and Canada and led by this Harvard scientist, David Keith, says they can do it for between $100 to $250. So that's a huge decrease in costs over the past 7 years. It mostly comes from taking these industrial processes elsewhere and adapting them to this technique. I would say that even though it's still really cheap compared to what we think it used to cost, it would become a huge outlay were the government to decide it just wanted to start pumping carbon out of the air. So, for instance, you know, in 2018, the U.S. emitted about 6.8 billion tons of CO2 into the atmosphere. Even at the cheapest cost estimate, right, that's $687 billion to pull it all back out. And that's a budget that, while smaller than the federal government budget, is much larger than the Department of Defense's budget. So it's a lot of money, even though it's much cheaper now than we ever thought it would be able to be.
Talking to Robinson Meyer from The Atlantic about a new technology that is at least pointing toward the promise of pulling CO2 out of the air, fighting global warming, and then turning it into gas that you can sell back to people to use. Robinson, in the piece you wrote about this, you talked to some outside experts, people who are not directly involved with the project. Were they excited, hopeful, skeptical? What kind of things did you hear?
They were excited. You know, it's funny because this is exactly the kind of project that you talk to outside experts to shoot down. You know, normally when you this kind of big geoengineering scheme to fix global warming, this is something that outside experts, that most serious climate scientists, I think, believe in most forms to be unlikely. And yet when you talk to people who have been studying these issues for a while and thinking about these kinds of topics, what they all said was, hey, you know, this, looking at the paper, this is very plausible. Yeah.
And now the head of carbon engineering, that professor you mentioned, he's saying, it sounds like, hey, we still need to cut back on our CO2 emissions, right? He's saying, don't wait for this stuff to come along and save us.
Yeah, I think this is probably the most controversial part of this research, is that it's very easy to hear about this research and say, oh, this is amazing. We're just going to pull CO2 out of the air. It's going to be super cheap. And none of us ever have to, you know, make the kind of changes to our life right now, or at least we don't have to pass the kind of policies that would truly fix global warming on the kind of national or international level. You know, I think he'd say there's two things there. First of all, right now, just pulling out CO2 is really, really expensive. We still couldn't afford to do it, and there's a lot of ways to reduce emissions that are way cheaper. In terms of preventing a ton of CO2 from entering the atmosphere, then this technique would pull it out of the atmosphere. So there are lots of things you can do that are cheaper than $100 that prevent a ton of CO2 from going into the atmosphere. The second thing is that already right now, the UN thinks we're going to have to pull some CO2 out of the atmosphere in order to just keep the Earth from warming by more than 2 degrees Celsius. In some ways, we have to do everything we can, including develop this geoengineering technique and reduce our CO2 emissions in normal ways, just to kind of keep the Earth within a healthy and safe envelope in the next century or two.
Right, because even if this technology is put in at such a large scale and met all of our fuel needs, all that's doing is keeping things steady. It's not taking any carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere, and there are other things inputting it in. So this this alone doesn't save us.
Yes, this alone doesn't save us, and especially if we just use this technology to just serve our fuel needs, then we won't be affecting the amount of carbon in the atmosphere at all, and the Earth will continue to warm. What we would have to do is start using it to pull CO2 out of the atmosphere and stick it in the ground somewhere, and that is how we would start to bring down CO2 levels worldwide. The other thing I'd note, by the way, is just that it's going to take a long time for this kind of gas, for this CO2 neutral gas or diesel or jet fuel that produced by this technique, to be price competitive with regular gas that we've drilled out of the ground. And the fastest way to get it there would be to pass some kind of economy-wide carbon tax or carbon price, which would immediately make normal gas much more expensive and this kind of gas much cheaper. Or even if there were other kinds of smaller policies that just affected gas prices on a smaller level or subsidized this kind of gas, the only way that it's going to become price competitive and that we're going to see kind of economy-wide or even smaller region-wide transitions, sector-wide transitions to this CO2 neutral gas is with some kind of climate policy.
We'll leave it there for now. Robertson, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hey, thank you so much.
That was Robertson Meyer, staff writer at The Atlantic. We've been learning about new technology aimed at removing carbon dioxide from the atmosphere, then converting it into liquid fuel. Between now and the August 14th primary, Wisconsin Public Radio has invited candidates who are running in contested primaries for statewide office and congressional seats to join us for interviews here on Central Time and on the morning show. We'll start our version of those out today in just a few minutes, and you can check out all these interviews at wisconsinvote.org.